not that you're going to think about anything else, but... Okie dokie. I'll see you later. Good morning. Good
morning. I wanted to ask about Hunter. I don't know what to do. I'm leaving Thursday and I don't know what to do.
How long is your trip?
Come back on Monday, 4 days.
Your dilemma?
I just don't know if I should put him down before I go, or if he's ready to go. He's still wagging his tail, but he just looks like he's in so much pain and he's not really eating.
Remember what I have expressed to you. Regardless of whether you think you are generating a decision for the animal or not, it is only that you think, and you verbally communicate that suggests to you that you are creating that decision. But in actuality, they do create their own reality and they do generate their own choices. And when humans and animals are involved with each other in companionships, the ideas in situations such as this are not entirely your own. They communicate in many different manners, but their most efficient and effective manner that they communicate is through energy. And in that, through some of those communications, you as humans translate that communication into an idea or into a feeling. It seems that it is your idea, but in actuality, the idea would not necessarily occur to you if the energy wasn't being protected.
Is he just acting happy because he knows they want him to be?
Let me express to you in this manner. Even humans, in some situations, can create a disease that has been intended to be their method to disengage. And even humans, in the situation of the disease, and even in the experience of pain, can express to those around them that they are happy. An animal that incorporates no belief systems can express that much easier, for they do not incorporate duplicity to express the good or bad or right or wrong. They only express choices. Therefore, regardless of what their choice is, that is not to say that they are not content, or in your terms, happy, or that they cannot continue to express their own appreciation. Even in such a choice. For they do not see the choice as bad. Let me also express to you, for creatures, for animals, the choice of death is different than the choice of leaving, which you can actually objectively see in the actions, the communications, the responses of an animal. If they are placed in a situation in which they are, let us say, forcibly being made to leave a situation or a location that they do not want to leave, they will generate obvious responses, and you will obviously notice that they are unhappy. And generally speaking, their response, if it is a situation in which they are forcibly being removed, generally speaking, they will generate considerable attempts to reestablish themselves in the original situation and location. They will run away. They will discover methods to return to what they want and what is familiar to them. Death is different. They do not perceive death as leaving. Therefore, it does not incorporate the same effect or response for them. For you, I am quite understanding it is very different. There are very different associations. But for them, death is not leaving. I will express to you that in your terms, what you view, what you perceive as higher beings in your reality, which includes very few, which includes humans, cetaceans, and perhaps to your surprise, elephants. These are the three categories of beings in your reality that do not remember that death is not an end and that it is not a leaving. And therefore, these are the three categories of species that significantly grieve for your objective awareness is expressed in a manner that you have forgotten that aspect of reality and consciousness. That if a being is no longer physically present in your reality, it seems removed from you. But all other species, all other creatures have not forgotten that and are aware of it. And therefore, for them, this choice is very different. I would express that if another individual were to physically remove him and take him away, he would struggle very strongly to return to you. And he would be uncomfortable and he would not be happy. Death is not a taking away to him. Therefore, it is not fearful. It is not cause to be unhappy. It is not uncomfortable. And it is not distressing to him. Now, that is a very different expression for you, and I'm understanding of that. But perhaps it will offer you some ease and some comfort in knowing that you would not even incorporate this idea if he was not projecting energy. It would not occur to you. With or without a pending trip. The trip is not what has prompted you in this direction. That is a logical assumption, but is not what has prompted you in this direction. He is prompting you in this direction. If he were not, you would not be entertaining the idea.
It's so hard.
I'm understanding. The bonds that are created are very strong. And I would express that in these types of situations, unfortunately, you fall into one of those three categories. You are a human. And in like manner to cetaceans and elephants, it is a grief. And it is perceived as a significant loss, for the bonds are strong. It is not that other animals or other beings do not generate strong bonds. They do. But their association with those bonds is different. They do not generate that distinction of physical present and non-physical present. They do notice temporarily if one in their number is no longer present, whether it be by the choice of death or whether it be by the choice of removal in some other capacity. They do notice. And temporarily, generally speaking, they do respond in what you would term to be missing that being that is removed. What they are more missing is the familiarity. The familiarity of the physical presence. Not necessarily missing the energy. And generally speaking, they do readjust themselves relatively quickly. The exception to this are the bonds that are formed between humans and other beings, other animals, that it is not unusual for an animal to choose to disengage also in a relatively short time framework once their human companion disengages. But once again, they do not view death in the same manner.
Why has he chosen to go this way? It's been so hard.
I would express that in actuality, this choice is generally perceived as kind, it is not sudden, it is not a shock, therefore it is not an immediate trauma. There is a time framework to assimilate and to accept. And therefore, the shock is not present, and the trauma is somewhat diminished. Not entirely, but it is less. There is also less confusion, less opportunity for you as the human to be blaming yourself or assuming responsibility for you have information that he has choices. Whereas, if he chose to engage what you commonly refer to as an accident, and suddenly disengaged, there is ample opportunity for you to question, for you to blame yourself or another outside source, and for you to generate considerable shock and trauma. In this manner, some of that is abated. Not all, but some. And therefore, realistically speaking, it is perceived as kinder.
I've been really working on paying attention to what I've been concerned about, and I've been picturing them coming up like little targets and shooting them and having them fall down like a game. And the one that's still up is, I've disappeared my Greyhound necklace, and I think it's tied into having a roommate and not trusting other people in my house, but I think it's still in the house. And I'd like to reappear it before I leave so I can take it with me. Do you have any hints?
My suggestion would be to relax and stop looking. That in that manner, you will allow yourself to reappear it. And it will become obvious. The more you are concerned and the more you are generating that anxiety and looking, the more you block yourself. Therefore, I would express that you have already set forth the intention that you want it. And in that, allow yourself to relax and trust that it will reappear in an obvious location.
And I seem to have done the same thing with my iPod, which I also want to take with me, and I'm not sure if maybe that's more of a permanent disappearance.
Not necessarily. Consider that it may not be in your home.
Yeah, I pretty much figured that. But it can still be reappeared?
Yes.
But other than that, I think I've done really good noticing the concerns and playing with them, with shooting them, like blowing them up.
Excellent.
Do you think I'm on the right track with that?
Yes.
Okay. Why do the pictures in my hat in my living room keep falling off the wall? Especially the fish one.
And your impression?
Well, the fish one, I think it may be Patel playing.
I agree.
Is that him with the other one too, and I just wasn't getting it, so he took the fish one off so he'd get it?
Does enjoy physical interactions and reminders to be humorous and not so serious. Playfulness.
I try to. I was walking into a store the other day and a car alarm went off, and I thought maybe that was my dad.
Yes. Therefore, you are presenting yourself with ample supportiveness.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There is considerable understanding and considerable supportiveness and energy. As uncomfortable and as distressed as you may feel, know that you are also being cradled considerably with significant loving energy.
That's good. With my work, I've just been thinking recently that I just want to do something much bigger. And I was thinking about a community website where people could go on and donate a certain amount of money each month and have it divided between the nonprofits and the community. But I can't seem to attract the people that I, their expertise that I would need. So I'm wondering if it's a valid idea, but there's still a different direction that that I would be better to look in for what I want to accomplish.
I would agree with both. I would express that you are moving in a correct direction for what you want. You are offering yourself ideas. And now, once again, I would remind you to expand. Use the inspirations that you give yourself and enhance them. Expand them.
Like more worldwide, or?
It is not necessary to swing the pendulum to one extreme or the other. Therefore, it is not necessary for you to inspire yourself and move in very small directions, but it is also not necessary for you to incorporate the idea of expanding and automatically jump to the entire world. But allow yourself to, once again, play with balance and incrementally entertain how you can expand on an idea or a direction. And once you generate a new idea of how to expand upon that initial foundation, you can begin again and express, now, how can I expand upon that expansion? And continue in that manner. which will allow you to exercise your imagination. And it will also offer you incremental steps, which is beneficial. For when you move in steps, you offer yourself much more opportunities to acknowledge each accomplishment, rather than setting yourself in a direction and presenting the opportunity to yourself to be disappointed or to discount yourself in expressing that you are not accomplishing it yet, or that you are not doing enough, or that it is not successful enough yet. When you move in increments, you present yourself with the opportunity to acknowledge your success in each step. The idea is a success. The inspiration is a success. When you implement any aspect of it, that is a success. When you expand upon it, even in idea, that is another success. Therefore, you are continuously acknowledging yourself and your successfulness, and the more you do that, the more it will expand and the more successful you will be automatically.
Well, the idea I had was to start it in our community and then develop.
And what would you do? How would you do that?
Well, the idea is to have a website that would list all of the nonprofits in our area, in the county. And then people could go on and they could either pick an already set option of, if they wanted to donate $10 a month, they would have a package of 10 charities and $1 would go to each of those charities. If they wanted to do 20, they'd get 20. Or they could choose their own, make up their own selection from different groups. And then there might be another section where nonprofits that are working on a certain project that they need funds for could collect donations just for that project. And then once all of the kinks were worked out, it could attract large advertisers and supporters. Like if we had, there's a shoe store and he is very active in nonprofits, he may be able to go to Nike and have them advertise. So it would be a way to help the community solve its own problems within itself and come together with the power of many doing small things. And then once we get that worked out, take the software, the program, and offer it to other chambers of commerce in other cities, you know, nationwide. And so it would be another stream of revenue.
And how would you introduce it?
Initially within our community, through the Chamber of Commerce, through social media, email, talking to people, pretty much the way I introduce things now. Because we have 25,000 people just in Keene, which is only one area of the county. And if each of those people donated a dollar a month to Fast Friends, we'd have $25,000 a month. You know, which is, the goal is to create something that requires very little effort, doesn't require a lot of people. It can be a small amount, showing that a small amount can make a huge difference to all of these charities.
Now, do you remember what I expressed to you previously in relation to movement in these types of directions, and how to approach these types of situations.
As far as imagining them, or?
No. When you begin to actually engage.
To imagine it?
There are two very important components when you are expressing in a direction that you are attempting to solicit money from outside sources as donations. The two very important factors are very interconnected. One is that you are setting forth an idea, but what is the other individual gaining? Therefore, the first aspect is the recognition that other individuals will be motivated to move in that direction if there is a payoff. The second very important factor, and these move hand in hand, is connecting with your target, so to speak.
What matters to them?
Personalizing. And this, those two factors are very important to successfully accomplish what you want to accomplish. Now, how would you be engaging the community not via the computer?
Attending chamber events and talking to them individually. Setting up presentations at the different clubs, like the Lions Club and the Kiwanis. And
excellent. Now, how would you do that? What would you do?
I would get in touch with the main person and tell them the idea that I'm working on. And
what would the idea be?
Well, of the...
What I am expressing is, what would the presentation be? What would the format be? Are you speaking and the individuals that attend are listening?
Well, I would have it interactive too, so I could show them like a prototype and show them how it would help their charity and how it would make the community come together more. And
how would you be interactive?
Well, I would do like a prototype of the website and click through it and show them how it would work on a screen.
Very well. But that is very similar to the format of you generating a presentation and them listening.
Mm-hmm.
That's not involving them.
Well, they could bring their laptops and they could try it themselves.
I'm understanding, but that is not personally involving them either. What can you do in a presentation that will involve them?
Ask them questions of how they would set up their portion of the website?
That is a beginning. That does involve them to an extent, for you are requesting input rather than merely expressing to them. Let me express to you in this manner. The more you can imaginatively involve your audience, the more successful you will be. Regardless of what you are presenting, such as a website. This is not a physical object, but there is a concept. The concept is charities. The concept is sharing. Therefore, this is what I am expressing to you in incorporate an idea, allow yourself to be imaginative, and then generate another step with that imagination, expand it. How can you involve them in a presentation in relation to a charity? Let me express to you in a very simple example. You are involved with this organization that involves itself with these particular dogs. A manor as a hypothetical example. For one charity, for one direction of donation, to involve your audience is to allow them to physically be interactive with the object of that charity.
The dog.
Choose a representative dog and allow that dog to be your ambassador. If it is a different charity, choose a different physical example that they can connect with. When you present a physical presence in relation to your audience, it is much easier to personally involve them. And it is more difficult for them to shield you out. It is easy to shield out if you are a member of an audience and you are only being presented with ideas. You can listen. You can participate by being present. And there is no direct pull upon you as an individual in that audience. In a manner of speaking, each individual in the audience is swallowed by the group and therefore is safe in their perceived anonymity and invisibility. It is more difficult for them to maintain that invisibility and anonymity if they are personally being drawn in, for they are personally being engaged. And it is much easier to personally engage if you incorporate an actual physical example.
So if they have a project of building a structure, I could have, like, each person be given a piece of that structure. They don't know that, but they're given a piece when they come in, and they physically come up and place the pieces and see it come to you.
Excellent. Now you are moving in a more creative direction. Yes.
So you're saying maybe present to people first, and then I'll find the designer, the software designer that I'm looking for to help bring it together.
Yes.
So you think this is more, this is a good probable path to go down for what I want to create in something bigger that will be self-sustaining to me. I just need to think bigger on it.
Yes. Okay. And remember what those core components are for what you want to do. It is important that your audience is generating a payoff. And to generate a payoff with the audience, they must be personally involved. Therefore, you must connect with them. It is not a matter of lecturing. It is not a matter of merely presenting an idea. It is a matter of genuinely connecting with these individuals. They are people. They are not merely a group. They are individual people with individual experiences, individual likes and dislikes, individual preferences. In that, it is a matter of connecting with them in relation to what is important to them, and therefore tapping into their payoff. And in connecting with them, creating a situation in which you personalize what you are presenting, and therefore you involve them. If they are merely observers, they are not involved. And the more they can be observers, the more likely they are to be generating their individual cocoon of the group. Each individual in the audience sees the group as the cocoon around themselves. Therefore, they are not connecting. They are merely observing. The key is to move them outside of that cocoon, outside of that familiarity, and move them into being personally touched. That you are actually connecting with them. This is somewhat challenging, or can be initially, for it also is quite dependent upon you. For your challenge is to not see the group as a group. But to see the group as many individuals and to be connecting with each one of them. I would express to you what may also be somewhat fun and interesting for you. Allow yourself to entertain the perception that any group that you target as your audience is a hive. And what is a hive?
House?
No. What is the hive comprised of?
All the worker bees and the queen.
Correct. What are the worker bees?
Drones?
Yes. And what is the function of the drones?
To gather the pollen.
The function of the drones is to produce and to express in relation to supporting the queen. That is their function. Your audience is a hive, regardless of what audience it is. And perhaps you may have many hives. You are the queen. Therefore, when you are addressing to your audience, they are your hive. Their function is to produce and to support the queen. Therefore, as the queen, it is your function to motivate them to generate their function adequately. To produce and to support you. For they are your hive. They belong to you. They are your community. Therefore, it is the same.
Okay, so I'm definitely onto something here.
I would agree.
Okay. Okay, so is there a next step with concerns, or just keep doing what I'm doing and noticing and reminding myself that I don't have to be concerned?
Remind yourself of that, yes. But my suggestion would be more in the direction of continuing to build upon your ideas and expand them in manners that will personally and individually involve your audience.
So that's all tied together.
Yes. You want to connect. You want to engage them.
But I mean, that's tied together with the layer of concerns?
Yes.
Teaching me how to connect with people more?
Yes, most definitely.
In my eyes, I feel like my right eye is getting better and like that will lead to the left eye. They don't get better together.
I would agree.
Is there something about it being the right eye that's improving first? That side has to do with creativity or something?
It does.
So it's kind of validation that I'm being more creative.
Yes. And allowing. That is the more intuitive. The other is the more intellectual. And the more familiar. Mm. And I would express an acknowledgement that one will follow the other.
Right. I do know that. I do believe that. So I brought up to Sharon again that I wanted to raise and that I was doing my part in getting a roommate. And I thought she heard me this time, but now I think that she thinks since I got a roommate that the problem's solved. And it's not. So now what?
Do you see and do you hear what you expressed? You expressed that you presented to this individual that you want a raise in income. But you also expressed that you were doing your part by accepting a roommate. What did you do in that?
Expected?
No.
Projected?
No.
Opposed?
What you did was you expressed a justification. I am doing this, therefore I deserve that. Not, I deserve this for I am here. But I deserve this for I am doing more and therefore earning it more. Whether you incorporate a roommate or not is irrelevant to whether you incorporate a raise in income with your job. It is irrelevant.
So am I back to the beginning of that?
No, but it is a reminder. It is not for you to justify. And it is not a matter of earning. You deserve merely for the factor that you exist and that you are present. And in an acknowledgement of individuals' perceptions and their beliefs, in relation to her, you deserve for you are present and you are generating the tasks that are expected of you and beyond.
So you're saying that's her perception too?
That moves within her guidelines. But what I am expressing to you is that it is not necessary for you to justify. The factor of your roommate is irrelevant in relation to your job.
So do I need to bring it up again?
The raise?
Yeah.
I would agree. Without the justifications, It is not a matter of justifying that you are doing more. What you are doing is enough. And it is deserving of what you want. And it's not requiring more.
So just bring up as a statement and don't keep talking.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Our energies are with you and will be supportive of you. And offering comfort also.
Thank you.
You are very welcome, my friend. Until our next meeting, in tremendous lovingness and encouragement as always, remember we are present.
Yeah.
Au revoir.
Okay.
That wasn't the position I started in.